Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Thursday right here on VNA, live, local, and digital on the Show of the People. Start up the U.S. Open in about an hour and 45 minutes. First groups will tee off at Torrey Pines. Make sure you're getting your picks in at hornfm.com. All right, can I make my picks official here in a minute, Buck? I need
your picks.
We got to get these in. We got Dave Pelz in 1 hour. The great Dave Pelz, the short game guru, working with Phil Mickelson, so many other golfers on the tour. Patrick Reed is a student of his as well, as far as the short game goes. So many guys out there at his place and learning the nuances of the short game. So we'll talk to Dave on his thoughts, some predictions for this event. Also, David Pierce will be with us, and we'll talk to Glenn Davis here coming up this hour about what went on at the Q2 Stadium last night. Speaking of that, BNE fact of the day, Buck, U.S. Women's National Team won last night 2-0 in front of that sellout crowd at Q2, and that extends their unbeaten streak to what?
24?
No, double that. 42 in a row now. 42 games in a row in international competition. They have not been beaten. They had a tie. They won tie this year. They're 9-0-1 this year. And they'll be the heavy favorites when they go to the Olympics this summer to try to win again.
I think they must count the friendlies too, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they've got two more of those with Mexico in early July, and then they're off to the Olympics. So, pretty cool scene last night, to say the least.
This was not the last of the – this was the one to get to the final cut before
Olympics. These three games, the two in Houston, and then this one last night was to whittle the roster down.
Yeah, 18.
And finalize the 18 that they're going to go to Tokyo with. And then that 18-person roster, women roster, will play two more games with Mexico in July. Then they'll go to the Olympics. So, 42.
Yeah, there's some discussion on the text line about the traffic, and that was only going to be one of the main things.
Sure.
I think that's why the MLS team, that's why the Oaks are away for 8 games. They really wanted to try to settle that in, but it's going to take. It's just like any time else you go to a place. I think you have traffic at a lot of places when you go for the first or second or third or for the first year, so they can get it all settled up. I'm pretty sure they'll figure that out.
Well, you mentioned the free parking in the Domain. I think a plan for a lot of folks is going to be to get to the Domain, have some dinner
and transportation
have some drinks,
for
and
that.
Walk across, because there's plenty of parking garages in the Domain and plenty of spots there, and it's a quick trip across. And these 8 o'clock start times are ideal for that. I mean, you can, walk back and forth.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out in my mind how far of a hall is there.
It's just really
the
across
Domain.
The street.
It is.
Yeah,
six blocks maybe. You're talking about 6 blocks,
maybe half a mile. I mean, it depends on where you are, and the Domain's a big place. So
that's true, too.
How
I forget
deep
about
into
that
the Domain
part.
You are. Where are you in the Domain becomes a question, too. But we'll talk more about that coming up. Also, with the Philadelphia 76ers collapse last night, Doc Rivers, your guy, you and Zay's guy, Doc Rivers. How about this? He now owns 5 of the worst 8 playoff blown leads ever. 5 of the 8.
Come on, man.
Whether he was at LA with the Clippers or now here where they've blown another lead. So, pretty incredible. Also, did your guy Cristiano Ronaldo cost Coca-Cola $4 billion this week? I'll get you details on that.
Billions and billions.
Today is National Eat Your Vegetables Day. What's your favorite vegetable? Favorite veggie?
I like broccoli.
Ooh.
I like some good broccoli with a little butter on it.
Boy, it stinks to steam broccoli, though. That is a horrible smell. I do like eating broccoli, but smelling broccoli is not good.
Really? Doesn't bother me. I'm good with some nice broccoli, yeah.
You ever been steaming broccoli? It smells like stinky feet or something.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Horrible odor.
I got you. I know. Yeah. Open up the top of it.
Most popular vegetable is potatoes. Is a potato.
Okay.
Because it's the most versatile vegetable there is
yeah,
potato.
For sure. That would be at the top of everybody's list.
I think so too.
You know what?
And potatoes and tomatoes.
And I actually like cabbage, but I don't very seldom do you pick it up and say I'm going to go and do some cabbage. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right about that. I don't think I've ever thought let's go get some
cabbage. I know. Yes.
Oh man, let's get some headlines, trending topics as we get you going on this Thursday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And yeah, that capacity crowd of 20,500 packed the Q2 Stadium last night. See the U.S. Women's National Team beat Nigeria 2-0. First ever game there and first time they've ever played in this city. The Olympics are next up for them, as we mentioned. Austin FC, though, the permanent residents of that great stadium, are going to be home to play their home opener on Saturday night. They'll host the San Jose Earthquakes with an 8 o'clock start time. NBA playoffs last night, an all-time collapse in Philadelphia, or comeback, whichever side you're looking at. The top seed in the East, the 76ers, were up 25 points with the 3:19 mark of the third quarter, cruising to what appeared to be an easy win in Game 5 in that series. But the Hawks caught fire, closed the game on a 51-23 run, and included a 14-0 sprint to the finish. And they win at 109-106 in front of a stunned home crowd in Philadelphia. Trae Young led the way with 39 points and 7 assists. Atlanta now owns a 3-2 lead. Game 6 will be back in Atlanta on Friday night. Surprise in Utah a little bit last night as well, where the LA Clippers took down the top-seeded Jazz 119-111. They take a 3-2 lead in that series, and they did it without Kawhi Leonard, who's out with that knee injury. Clips got 37 points, 16 rebounds from Paul George, Reggie Jackson, and Marcus Morris combined for 46. In baseball, Astros double up the Rangers 8-4, finish off that quick two-game Lone Star Series sweep. Jose Altuve belted two more home runs. By the way, became the first player in Major League history, according to Elias, to walk off a game as he did on Monday night with a grand slam, and then open the following game with a home run. Did that last night, let off the game with a knock. Astros get the win. Also last night, history in San Francisco, where the Arizona Diamondbacks lost to the Giants 13-7. That's 22 consecutive road losses for the Snakes. That ties them with the 43 Philadelphia Athletics and the 63 Mets for all-time futility. And golf, the 120th playing of our national championship, the U.S. Open, tees off this morning. First-round action at Torrey Pines. Plenty of storylines, including Bryson DeChambeau. He is the defending champion, going for back-to-back. His good buddy Brooks Koepka attempts to win for the third time in 4 years. And then there's the birthday boy, Phil Mickelson, San Diego's own, turns 51 today. He'll look to follow up his PGA championship and complete the career grand slam. First groups go off at 8:45 this morning.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Dan on the text line says, my favorite vegetable, cheeseburgers. Yeah, I don't know if that's a veggie, but okay. You could put some veggies on a cheeseburger.
That's the whole works. He puts it all on there.
You could throw some.
Got to throw some meat in there, though.
Lettuce and throw some tomatoes and throw some onions. Those are all veggies. You can get some.
Sweet. Good job.
That's good. That's good. Potato, the most. Potato's just a potato. I know it's a vegetable.
I know, because I never think of it. I just think of it as like meat, like a meal, part of a meal.
It's a potato.
Yeah, it's a potato.
What type of potato are you having becomes the bigger question, right? Are you having French fries? Are you having mashed potatoes? Are you having a baked potato? Potatoes au gratin.
I had those waffle fries from Chick-fil-A yesterday.
You did?
I did.
Those are pretty good.
Those are tasty now. Love them.
Favorite vegetable, Isaiah Collier? I know your favorite coach is not Doc Rivers, but your favorite vegetable is what?
I'm a cauliflower guy.
Wow, that's left field.
Yeah, you season that thing up.
Really?
Yeah, you could do a cauliflower right.
I like that. All right, cauliflower. I don't think it was. Oh, man. We'll get a lot of opinions on that for sure. But here it is, Buck. Did your guy Cristiano Ronaldo, the global soccer star?
The guy, yeah.
So, in addition to soccer being a hot topic here in town with the U.S. women's team in town last night and then the Austin FC opening up that stadium on Saturday night, they're playing the 2020 UEFA European Football Championship right now. It's
not 2021, 2020.
Yeah, they're playing the 2020 and 2021 because they didn't get to play it last year. So they're trying to settle that and get it out of the way here. But so it's happening right now. It's a big deal on a global level. And so on Monday, Ronaldo sat down for a press conference, and there were two bottles of Coca-Cola sitting on the table because they're the title sponsor.
Oh, no.
And your guy, Cristiano, moved them off camera and held up a bottle of water and said, agua. Agua, which of course means water. And after he did that, and maybe a coincidence, maybe not, shares of Coca-Cola just happened to drop nearly 2%. The shares on the stock exchange.
That means they're trying to tell you don't, when it's hot and sweaty and that sugar is not, that's what people thought when he put H2O up there instead, probably.
Which reduced Coke's market value $4 billion. $4 billion. Coincidence or the power of Ronaldo?
It's the power of his. It's the power of his thighs. Yes,
his quads.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I guess.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, and I'm not a big soda drinker, Coca-Cola for sure. But at the same time, if it is the title sponsor, you probably shouldn't be moving it off the camera there,
No, you probably just leave it. There's a reason why it's sitting right there.
There's a reason why it's there.
You don't have to drink it, but don't move it out. Move it to the side.
Ooh, I'm sure Coke was not real happy about that.
Oh, man.
I'm sure what they're spending on that buy. But there you go. So we'll take your...
I have now been off of Coca-Cola for probably now a half a year. I have not had any Coke in about 6 months now. And it generally gets me when I'm on the golf course. That's when you want it the most.
Just for the sugar.
The sugar blast. At about the hole number 16, you start to your head is bobbling up and down.
See, that's like the last thing I want to drink when I'm on the golf course.
Is it really?
Yeah, just I don't want all the...
I don't do it anymore, so it's...
The go-to would be water, followed by maybe a Gatorade.
I got to be careful of the Gatorade because it does have some form of sugar in it.
Sure
does it not?
Well, if I get a Gatorade, I usually go half and half with water just to water it down a little bit. But at the same time, in this heat, man, you got to be hydrating yourself and not drinking sugary sodas. Or even the Bud Lightskis, you know what I mean? I mean, it's nice on a golf course, but at the same time, you got to hydrate, man.
For sure.
You got to keep hydrated.
For sure. So it's about the water. You're right.
It is. All right. So the Buck-Ons and Buck-Offs all morning. Who you got, including David Pierce, Texas baseball. We'll talk with him at 8:30. U.S. Open teeing off. Get your picks in at hornfm.com. We'll reset our picks. Bucky is picking Hideki Matsuyama.
Yes, sir.
To be a two-time winner and become the player of the year if he could win. Of course, he won the Masters a couple months ago. And I am quite crazy. We're both crazy because I'm picking Phil Mickelson, the hometown boy.
Back to backers, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Maybe it's just wishful thinking, but I think Phil has a plan. He's been gearing up for this for the last couple of weeks out at Torrey Pines. We'll see. He'll tee off this morning along with the rest of the field. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. And when it's all things soccer, we talk to our buddy Glenn Davis of Soccer Matters every Monday night, 7 to 8, right here on the Horn. Of course, you see him on ESPN and Fox, and he calls the games for the Houston Dynamo. He does a heck of a job. What's up, Glenn? How are you, bud?
Bucky, Aaron, good morning. Great to hear you guys, and exciting night last night, obviously, in Austin.
Yeah, man. How did it come off for you? I mean, U.S. women, you know, the number one team in the world, 2-0 over Nigeria, but even the players, Abby Wambach, I saw, was just, she said she got emotional. The crowd was so great, and they've been playing without crowds for so long here during the pandemic, and said it was a pretty unbelievable, you know, electric night here in Austin.
Electric's a great word. What a tremendous celebration kind of it was. I mean, I thought right away where I went with this was to the Austin soccer community and the people that have filled the sport many, many years. I mean, going all the way back to Wolfgang Sunholz. That's an emotional night for people at every layer of the game. Unfortunately, I was intending to be there and I could not come. But I did watch it last night on television. I just thought a fantastic stadium. Looks gorgeous. It's another incredible piece of infrastructure. But I would say this has got to be a really emotional night for everybody involved, and that goes right down to the grassroots level.
You know what? The name Wolfgang, I didn't hear that enough in my household over my lifetime with my kids and the Capitals and everything else that Wolfgang was involved with. He was a special guy. He really was. Special teacher. Special soccer guy, and last night, for me watching it, it's almost like, you know, you're so used to the word football around here, but for the soccer community, that's growing and growing and growing. That was kind of cool to watch, and that intimate setting, and when you see that stadium, Q2, boy, is that thing tight. It's intimate. It's not massive. It's just every seat in the house looked like you could see from every level there last night, Glenn.
Yeah, no question. I mean, this is the type of stadium we have. And if we look at the infrastructure of the sport of soccer in this world, which, you know, building stadiums that were specific to soccer wasn't even a question that was asked, you know, in the 80s and probably even the early 90s. But the infrastructure is the best in the world here. I mean, it's one of the draws for people to come here and play also is the quality of training facilities and stadiums. This thing's got all the bells and whistles. It'll look more green on Saturday against San Jose, but you know, you can't not be excited for just everybody involved, whether it's the fans, the ownership group with Precourt and what Andy Lochnane has done, all the staff, the energy. But I think you got to take it all the way back to a lot of people that we don't even know their names that helped grow the sport. Of course, we all know Wolfgang Sunholz, but there's a lot of others that also helped to blossom and grow the game. So I think an emotional level for a bunch of different people at that game last night, fantastic.
No doubt. Glenn Davis is with us. Soccer Matters every Monday night, of course, here on the Horn. Glenn, real quick, your thoughts on Austin FC. The road trip is over. They're going to get some home games now starting Saturday night, 2-4-1, their start. But you told us when the season began, if you can manage this, and it's a long season, and a lot of teams make the postseason in the MLS, so still a lot to play for Josh Wolf and his team.
No question about it. Look, 7 of their next 9 at home. Now's the time to pack some points. I would have said you get 9-12 off your first 7 games. You're in a great place. They got 8. I think they're positioned very well now. I'm sure they're still looking in the transfer window to improve areas of the team. We heard Claudio Reyna talk about that. So, you know, that's a winner's mentality. They're constantly trying to make it better and improve it. Saturday is going to be emotional. It's going to be amazing. San Jose's in town with Matias Almeida. I can only imagine what people from fans to front office to players, I mean, everybody must be jumping out of their skin for Saturday night. But I think they're positioned great for this run of home games now.
Now, Glenn, do you believe that Josh will let this team offensively open up a little bit? They'll have gaps in that defense if they really go on the attack with the players that they have, because they've been sort of defensive-minded so far. But you know, with Dominguez and of course Pochettino, isn't it time for to let your fans see? It may cost you. You don't want to lose a game over it, but do you let your fans watch this team go more offense in game number one to really get them excited about this soccer team?
Yeah, Josh Wolf is not building this team to be a product that doesn't sell on the field. You have to attack. You got to entertain. I think the last two games, you know, obviously you're on the road in Seattle and places like Sporting Kansas City, which are two of the toughest environments in the league, and you got points. You did something a little different. You had right. to have a bit of a road tactical mentality, no question. And I think to get those points and to do that back-to-back against those two teams says a lot. But, there's no holding people back on Saturday night.
Yeah, really.
This is all out going forward. This is going to be controlled chaos for times. This is going to be pretty incredible. And the way San Jose plays with this man-to-man marking all over the field, there's going to be space. There's going to be goals. And there's no possible way you're going to be able to hold people back. And that's not the way they want to play.
No.
I think what we see in MLS now is we see – there aren't a lot of deeper defending lower block teams. Of course you have to do it at times in the heat because it's just not physically possible to go 100% all out. And you got to be a little bit selective during the summer months of how much pressing you do, when you do it, and how you recognize it. But the thing is, on Saturday night, you're a home team. Your selling point and what you've told the community of Austin is we're going to be an attack-oriented team. That's exactly what they'll be at home. There is no question about it.
Glenn Davis, every Saturday night, or every Monday night, I should say, with Soccer Matters, 7 to 8. He does a great, great job all over the platforms, all over social media as well, covering the sport of soccer, television as well, with ESPN and Fox. Glenn, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Look forward to more conversations in the future, but soccer was big last night here in Austin. It's going to be big again on Saturday. Thanks for the insights.
Thank you, Glenn.
Big time, just like you and Bucky.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate Glenn Davis. There you go.
Always, yeah, I forgot to ask him the main question I wanted to ask him. Why is women's soccer so far superior to how men are playing in the U.S.? I've been trying to figure that out for years. Is it money? Is it? Do we put more emphasis on women's soccer when it comes to the national game? I'm not talking about the MLS. I'm talking about around the country. Is it just more? I'll get to that at one time or another with Glenn sometime, but They must put more money into women's soccer than they do into men's. And that's why the women want to get paid like the men do. Probably. Yeah.
Good stuff. I don't have a good answer on that.
I don't know.
But I'm sure there are reasons for it. But the women are really, really good, for sure. But make your picks, hornfm.com. All right, Buck, here we go. Here's the guys I'm taking, my 9 golfers.
Okay.
At the Major Golf Challenge. I'm going to regret this one, but I'm going Xander Schauffele in group 1.
He's not a closer.
What is he, Ben Simmons?
Come on. He doesn't shoot well from the free throw line and clutch.
He doesn't?
He hasn't.
Actually, no. I just changed. I'm going Colin Morikawa.
Smart move.
Colin Morikawa.
Yes.
In my group 1. I've got Brooks Koepka in group 2 because this guy's won 3 out of 4 U.S. Opens, and I think he'll be in the mix. Brooksy!
Don't forget that bad knee, though.
Well, you know, he was here because he got Rory in there, too. Where did they bring Rory this week up at the U.S. Open?
No, I got Weeb, remember?
You got Weeb Simpson.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that is. Couldn't pick him out of a lineup, Weeb Simpson.
Pretty good consistent golfer, yeah.
I'm going to go with you with Hideki Matsuyama in Group 3. I like Victor Hovland, too, in that group. Scotty Scheffler, former Longhorn, is in Group 3 for us at HornFM.com. And how do you go against Louis Oosthuizen? How do you go against Louis?
It's hard.
Louis Double O, man.
Hard to do.
But that's a good group. I got Jason Kokrak in Group 4. I'm going to take Will Zalatoris out of Group 5, the skinny guy, the flat belly who hits it a mile straight. Got to hit it a mile straight.
You're trying to go with the hottest thing. That's not going to work for you right there. Zay and I have something different than that. We're going...
You're going Cam Smith.
Cameron Smith, yes.
Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron.
I got Phil Mickelson in Group 6. You got Phil in there?
I went with you on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll talk to Dave Pels coming up. He coaches Phil Mickelson.
Come on, I know who you're going here.
Sam Burns. Got Sam Burns. Sam Burns.
We're going with the Rosie man. Rosie's back.
Justin Rose.
Yes.
Miss Three Wood.
That's exactly.
Golfer 8. Brian Harmon's my pick. Brian Harmon is my pick.
We're going with Cloris Leachman.
Cloris. And then finally, I wrap it up with Gary Woodland.
And
Gary
I took Woodland too, yeah.
Did you?
I can't believe it. Sergio's there, and you're not taking him. He's done with diapers. He's ready to get back on the course and play.
I mean, I want to pick Sergio. I do. I want to see Sergio do well. He's an Austinite.
Yes.
I'd love to see that. But I don't know. I don't know where his game is right now. Is he ready for this? And I don't know why I didn't take John Rahm in Group 1 over Colin Morikawa.
That's who I took.
Did you?
Yeah.
Big John Rahm?
Big John's he's mad.
He is mad.
He's got to be mad.
That COVID thing cost him $2 million bucks at the Memorial a couple weeks ago.
Six-stroke lead. He was not losing on Sunday.
No, as it turned out, he could have shot a 76 and won it on Sunday at Memorial with the Jack Nicklaus tournament. So make those picks. You're picking Hideki Matsuyama to win the tournament.
I am picking
Phil Mickelson like a crazy person.
And nobody's picking Jordan Spieth. Nobody. There's not a lot of words.
That's a mistake for all of us, I believe.
You know, he has been playing okay. I mean,
he's been in the mix. How many Sunday final groups has he been in? But his Sunday scoring average is like 74. His Monday, his Thursday, Friday, Saturday scoring average is like 68 and below.
But he has a U.S. Open.
He does.
Okay.
Out in the seat near Seattle. Remember they played out in Washington on those horrible greens? Remember that?
Right.
Yeah, that. But he's not, speaking of not closers, that's been the issue for Jordan Spieth. And, he's got one win this year, but he's been in the mix over and over again. But then, again, a Sunday scoring average of 74. That's something's mental there with Jordan. If you can play really solid like he does Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then it falls apart on Sunday, that's mental. That's between the ears for Jordan Spieth right now. Until he cleans that up, I don't know that you can pick him.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. Yeah, Sunday is his bugaboo, and that's when you really got to up. You got to have them all. You don't let them hang on Sunday. What you do is you play smart golf, and Jordan is really he struggles on Sunday right now. He really does. But John Rahm is pretty hot right now too, and I'm sure he's pretty mad.
Hey,
and you got Brooksy. You got Brooksy on his peg. He's playing on a peg.
Brooksy.
Don't forget he's playing on a peg, and if the crowd gets near him, he's going to start crying about his peg.
They get near him, he might start swinging.
Oh, my leg.
Oh, make your picks. Have some fun with us. It's Father's Day weekend. We'll talk to David Pierce, Texas baseball coach, in an hour. Always good stuff. We got buck-ons and buck-offs as well. Who deserves and has earned a pat on the back from you? How about a kick in the rear? You decide. Our Tvex text line, 512-337-3776. Plus, before the end of the hour, Isaiah Collier walks us through the hot or not topics of the morning. Coming right back. B&E live, local, and digital. Streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Thursday on the Horn, B&E, just trying to figure it all out. Who's going to win the U.S. Open? Who the Longhorns will start in Game 1 of their College World Series opener on Sunday night? We'll ask David Pierce that question in 1 hour. Also trying to figure out Mark Cuban. Donnie Nelson out after 26 seasons or 24 seasons with the Mavericks. As we talked last hour to Ari Temkin, that it appears that there is a 46-year-old former sports gambler who now has the year of Mark Cuban in running the Mavericks front office, a guy named Bob Vulgaris. He's one of the most prolific NBA sports bettors in the world, and now he's working for Mark Cuban. And actually, what'd you say, Zay, like talking to players? Like he actually is coaching some players from time to time?
Yeah, like an example, Luka threw a bad pass one time, and he had something to say about the bad pass. This is like Jonah Hill on Moneyball trying to tell the players, you know, hey, you need to swing like this, swing like that.
It is interesting. I you know, that comparison certainly, because I saw Moneyball this week on our bus trip down to the Astros game, Buck. And it is. I mean, you know, Jonah Hill was brought in by, you know, Billy Beane at the time, Peter Brand, to, you know, use numbers and data and analysis to build a roster and, you know, go against the grain. But, you know, that was Billy Beane, who was the general manager of the team, taking that direction, because remember, I mean, the genesis of the whole Moneyball idea was the A's had just lost Jason Giambi and, you know, lost Johnny Damon. They couldn't afford to keep those guys. And, you know, the idea was, well, you know, we can't do things like the Yankees do. We just can't afford to, so we have to do it differently. And it really changed how, you know, baseball is done and rosters are built and what is valued and not valued. But in the NBA, this is the owner of the team, not the GM. This is the owner of the team, Mark Cuban, bringing in this guy, Vulgaris, to kind of lean on and kind of see things differently analytically, more than just basketball. And now Donnie Nelson's out. It's going to be real interesting to see how that plays out for the Dallas Mavericks, because it's all about Luka and the future there and how they build around him.
Yeah, I know we live in the state of Texas, but, I mean, the historically for me, it's, I mean, the Mavericks are the Mavericks. You know what I'm saying? Now they have an opportunity with the young guy, or they're just going to be like they've always been. They'll have a player or two that have been really, really great. They don't win anything.
Well, they won a championship 10 years ago with Dirk, right? They won the championship.
Right.
They won the whole thing. And I think you can blame Mark Cuban for what's happened since.
Yeah, he didn't put anybody around Dirk even when they won.
Yeah, he didn't let that team come back and try to repeat. He tore it down. And in the last, you know, 10 years, has really just been chasing free agents, right? Wanted to get after LeBron James, wanted to bring in, you know, the top free agents. And as Ari said last hour, we kind of wasted the last, you know,
Well, it'll be scary if he goes on to be Jerry Jones and they mess up with Luka and they don't finish out, because that doesn't
right
come
now.
Around. Guys like that don't come around that often. So,
and that's
crazy.
That's the fear now, is that Luka Doncic is not a fan of this Bob Vulgaris, and create a rift, and all of a sudden when it's Luka's time, he's going to pull one out of here.
If BK has the ear of Mark Cuban, that's doesn't that scare you, Zay? If BK is, you know, he's got something on this game or the next. Doesn't that bother you, that if he had the ear of Cuban?
Yo, Brad doesn't deserve this. Why are you throwing BK in this?
He has a little bit on all the games, so I'm just thinking, if that guy was on the sideline.
I don't know that BK is a prolific sports gambler. He's a sports gambler.
Yes.
But prolific would mean you're really good at it, like you win a lot.
No, prolific is if you're doing preseason games or soccer or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's where the Mavericks are. Also, this, Zay will lead us through the hot or not topics coming up, but is LeBron James right? He's telling everybody he is. LeBron James, in a series of tweets yesterday, because the Lakers are out, says, they all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season, James wrote. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and the benefit for our game. These injuries aren't just part of the game. It's the lack of rim rest before starting back up. Because it was LeBron James when they announced when the season was going to begin in 72 games and a compressed schedule who voiced he was the most vocal in saying, gosh, I mean, we can't do this turnaround. You're going to see a rash of injuries. And Zay, he did predict it, and now we're watching it happen with, you know, every team dealing with at least one significant injury to a star player.
Yeah, you know Bron's going to let you know when he's right, and he called this one. I'm not going to lie. He called this one, and it makes sense. Like, you knew coming in December with the, you know, bubble ending in October that there will be a lot of injuries because guys got to recover.
But say, even you talked about, this is not, I mean, you talked about that's just not enough rest.
No.
I mean, this was not rocket science, right, to figure this part out. You could take a guess if you're an athlete and you have all that time and you're in that short period of rest, just about any sport, you're going to be injuries. It's going to happen. It's just the way your body's made, you know?
Yeah, we're talking about the caution and having a 18-game season in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that, to his point of being right, I mean, that is the storyline of these playoffs. I mean, who's gonna get to the finish line the healthiest is kind of where we're at with this, and with the latest being Kawhi Leonard and his knee, and how serious is that? The Clippers did win without him last night with Paul George stepping up in a big way, but just, you know, significant injuries across the board throughout the course of the season. So we'll say, you give you the thought, buck on or buck off to LeBron James for calling out the NBA and saying, I told you so. And now here we are. We've got that story out there. We've also got some NFL news. How about this, Buck? You see that Tua Tagovailoa had a 5-interception practice on Tuesday?
Yeah, in the rain. He was not good.
5 interceptions he threw. That either means the Dolphins have a really good defense or he's not good. No, but it wasn't. But Brian Flores, their head coach, had him out there in like a driving rainstorm.
Well, he said that this was, we were asking him to throw the ball down the field. We were asking him to throw balls in tight windows. We were being very aggressive offensively, and we wanted him to throw the ball.
Okay? And he doesn't want him to stop.
And that's what you got.
Well, because that's was the issue with Tua last year, right? When he got in and took over for Ryan Fitzpatrick, he was very tentative. You know, it's one thing when you're playing at Alabama and Sark's dialing up plays, and you look up and everybody's wide open, right?
Yeah.
Because you're playing in college and you've
for
got
sure.
four pro wide receivers and Najee Harris, and all of a sudden, every time you look up, the window's wide open, and you throw it on time, you throw it accurately. But this is the National Football League. Not everybody's open.
Yeah,
and the windows are tight.
Right. And what do you want? I mean, do you want Tua to? Do you want him to progress? How do you want him to progress? Do you want him all of a sudden to be? You want him to be a great one immediately, or are you just going to have to live with this guy as things go on and build around him? Which, by the way, they're doing.
Well,
they're giving him all kinds of weapons, and they're also really good on defense.
Yeah. Remember, they added Will Fuller from Houston.
Yeah.
He brings a speed element that
they want
had.
That ball to be thrown down the field.
They want to stretch the field and. They need Tua to be more aggressive because that was his issue. And, you know, it's good coaching coming through for Tua that he's not going to take a chance here to, you know, protect the ball. But at the same time, it's the National Football League. You got to let it rip. I mean, the windows are tight.
This is the time to do it. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, and so, yeah, this is the NFL in June. And so people are going to make a huge deal about a bad practice in a rainstorm that Tua had. But, you know, it's a big storyline because if Tua is good, the Dolphins have a chance to be a part of that, really, really good AFC conference we talk about a lot.
And if
with
he's
Buffalo
really, really bad, he'll be gone this year. They'll find another guy because they can't wait around because they're spending a lot of money. They've got a lot of draft choices. And as you said, they expect to be in the hunt right away. They're not going to wait around for 2 or 3 or 4 years to get better.
Well, and remember, in Miami, Tua is always going to be compared with Justin Herbert out with the Chargers because they could have taken either of them. They had the 5th pick. They took Tua over Herbert, and Herbert last year was Rookie of the Year
right.
in the National Football League and was brilliant. And I mean, threw 31 touchdown passes, didn't have any issues letting it rip, and made some of the – I mean, Herbert last year with the Chargers made
no doubt.
Just eye-popping throws. Like, oh, my gosh. Some of the stuff he did reminds you of an early Patrick Mahomes.
And that's what we're going to see all the time in the NFL. We're going to see some guys who are laid back, and that's what I believe, even with the kid from the University of Florida, he's someday – that guy, when he gets his opportunity, when time comes for him.
Kyle Trask.
I think Kyle Trask is going to be.
Well, he's backing up Tom Brady now in Tampa.
You know,
and look, I mean, and that'll be interesting with Mac Jones with New England, right? I mean, you have to.
Is he for real for me? That's the thing I want to see.
Well, look, what I said about Tua is what at Alabama, I mean, Tua had 4 top 15 wide receivers to throw to, and Najee Harris to hand it to, and a great offensive line, and that's. You know, Texas fans will find out about Steve Sarkisian. I mean, some would say that's pretty easy to call plays when you have all those dudes.
Right.
At the same time, you know, if you're the quarterback like Mac Jones or Tua, you're, I don't want to say your job's easy, but when you're playing college teams and you've got that many good players, you're going to have a lot of wide open receivers, and it makes the job pretty simple. It gets a lot tougher when you move on to the next level and you're trying to play against professionals, and you have to be able to read defenses quickly and make quick decisions. We'll see if Mac Jones is in that conversation.
And I think
too.
we get into judging these young quarterbacks really quickly because we talk about 7-on-7. We talk about they come in ready to go, and do you have much time to develop the quarterback? Not really, man. The NFL is like moving so damn fast. If you think guys sit back like Aaron Rodgers sat behind somebody for forever. And then now you've got Tua. Their expectations are Tua needs to be ready to go this year, or we're probably going to move on and look for another guy because we're spending a lot of money, we're doing a lot of things. You're not waiting 4 years for a guy to develop at the quarterback position. You're just not doing
that.
Which
we used to do. I mean, I don't know about
that was a part of it.
Yeah. It says, with failure comes success.
True.
You have to progress. Tua forcing him to throw tough throws in practice, 5 interceptions in practice is when you want to see. That happened. That's true.
And that's why they have practice.
That's right. That's what you're practicing. And that's what Brian Flores said. He says, no, we're still pedal to the metal here. We're fine. This is where we want him to. He needs to learn from these mistakes.
But somebody has to write about something they saw at practice. And we saw that.
That's true. Because it's June.
That's right.
And we want to talk about football.
We don't want to be talking about 5 interceptions in September and October.
And I'll give another buck off to Aaron Rodgers for being a baby. Just, I mean, it's a weekly Thursday thing now. But
has he got on TV again or something?
Well, they did do more of the, you know, they did that made for, remember they were doing the golf match coming up in July after the 4th of July with Aaron Rodgers and Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau and all that. So they did another, Tom Brady, they did another little, you know, pump it up deal this week, and they took some shots at the Packers. I mean, it's just Aaron Rodgers. Come on, man.
Dude, is LeBron James really talking about REM sleep? Did he say about his REM rest?
Yeah, his quote, well, this was a tweet that he sent, a series of tweets that LeBron sent out.
REM sleep?
Yeah, it was something about just letting the guys recuperate their bodies, essentially.
Okay.
But you only get so many characters in a tweet, so, you know, try to shorten it.
With the REM?
Yeah, I don't know what it means. I don't
know. LeBron James.
Oh, I got your REM.
Hey, how about this? Buck on to Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel now has a bowl game. Do you know that? This
get
is a true story.
Here.
Yeah, late night talk shows. Jimmy Kimmel will have his name on the inaugural L.A. Bowl set for SoFi Stadium December 18th.
What if the Horns are playing in it?
That'd be bad. And it actually can happen because the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl, as it's called, they announced it on his show last night, will match up teams from the Pac-12 and the Mountain West conferences. December 18th.
That's perfect.
Yes. The Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl is now a thing.
That's going to be, speaking of a thing, that's going to be one of the things. Is the Pac-12 actually going to be playing football? Do they have any teams that are going to pop up in there this year?
They are going to play.
But
now,
who's any good?
If Herm Edwards is going to be the coach of the Arizona State team is going to be the question, because apparently serious NCAA investigation is underway.
And that's truly serious, right? That is bad.
Well, the allegation is pretty that they were bringing recruits to campus and to games during COVID when there was a 15-month dead period. You couldn't bring anybody to campus. That they were trying to slip in recruits, hide them in suites, and bring them to the game to recruit them.
Dude, you can't do that. There's no somebody's going to squeal.
Hello, you play to win the game.
And I want winners.
And considering that Arizona State last year had a major COVID outbreak on their team, including Herm Edwards, and they only played four games because of it, that could be a problem.
It ain't about you.
Yeah,
dude, they're going to run him out of town if that's true. If that's true, he's going to be gone. He and his coaches. If you're bringing kids during COVID on your campus.
And hiding them.
And hiding them at hotels.
I'll read you some of the cuts from this year coming up. From the reporting at The Athletic on Herm Edwards and Arizona State. Coming back, Isaiah Collier leads us through the hot or not topics. And then, of course, top of the hour, Dave Pels will join us, preview the U.S. Open, the short game guru and coach of Phil Mickelson and so many others. Also, David Pierce, inside an hour now, talking Texas baseball. We're loaded on a Thursday, live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Coming up top of the hour, we'll talk to Dave Pels. We spoke with Dave right after Phil Mickelson won the PGA Championship a month ago and asked him, was he surprised? He said, heck no. He expected him to contend and be right there, and we'll ask him the same for this week. Can Phil Mickelson be a factor at the U.S. Open in his hometown of San Diego with the plan that they have enacted? Keep it in the fairway, Phil. Keep it in the fairway.
Yes.
And then be the best wedge player and approach player in the game. Short game player in the game. Also, David Pierce next hour. All right, here it is, Buck. On the way to the break, we're going to Arizona State. So, Zay, think about this. You want to talk about dropping the hammer on a program. So, earlier this month, an anonymous person sent a dossier of dozens of pages of information to the Arizona State Athletic Department. It included screenshots, receipts, pictures, and emails related to numerous potential violations within the Arizona State football program. Sources said that the documentation includes specific evidence of multiple examples of high school prospects taking illicit on-campus recruiting trips during the COVID dead period, and that coaches knew about it and obviously were running it. Dossier lays out the pieces of both players and trips and how it was paid for, and sources said members of the football program deliberately, blatantly, and consistently broke the rules related to hosting players during the dead period, including head coach Herm Edwards meeting with recruits.
He gone. That's one of those. That's like the no-brainer. He's gone. You can't, and especially during that time, it's not like you can say, you know what, I didn't know this was happening. I was because you couldn't leave. You couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
Yourself, your team had it.
And
he's not this dumb. This is a dumb move.
Yeah. Like even bringing high school recruits to games. Like, they played only four games last year, but bringing them and hiding them in suites.
I know you play to win the game.
Hello? You play to win the game.
But damn, Herm.
Yeah, it was supposed to be all Zoom and, you know, phone calls and texts, and that's all the only way you could recruit for a year. And obviously,
somebody's snitching. Well, yeah,
somebody,
everybody,
somebody dropped a dossier.
Of course,
who had access?
They're not just snitching on you.
Yeah, this is,
you were dumb enough to get snitched on here.
This is hammer drop. Isaiah Collier, what are you having hot or not?
Thanks, E. So y'all briefly talked about the Miami Dolphins and how Tua threw a smooth five picks in practice. And I think the Baltimore Ravens are trying to avoid situations like that with their MVP quarterback, Lamar Jackson, to where they have put out a statement saying no one is allowed to film Lamar throwing passes.
What?
Yes.
Now, we we already know how the dude passes, so I don't.
He's been playing for three seasons.
They're not going to hide from anybody that knows anything about football his throwing motion, how he throws the ball. Zay, that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. But at this point of his career, the Baltimore Ravens, they don't want any film of Lamar getting out on his progression.
Well, his contract goes all the way to 2022. Are they going to try to sign this dude in 21 now? Or are they obviously just going to wait?
I'm trying to figure out this. I mean, if you come to practice and you remember the media and you have a camera, you can video practice, but you can't video him throwing?
Yeah.
What? How do you stop that?
Yeah, I mean, if ESPN comes and they want the video of your practice as a part of their highlight for that night, you can't. I don't know.
Yeah, and if Bob Ballew and the local news team show up with their cameras, they're going to film the practice and when they get access times. And you can't edit out the Lamar Jackson throwing scene.
The main guy is Lamar Jackson throwing the ball.
Are we going to film the blocking? That makes no sense.
No.
We talk about practice.
That's,
man,
almost as crazy as REM sleep. You know what I mean?
We leave LeBron alone.
What? Come on.
LeBron.
What is it? I sleep. There's some other sleep.
REM sleep.
What is the other part of sleep that you get?
REM sleep is the rapid eye movements. That's when you're in your deepest of deep sleep. Your REM sleep. You need good REM sleep.
Are your eyes closed at that time, or do your eyes blinking? I mean,
your eyes are closed.
Your eyes are closed.
Yes.
But they're flashing or something. You're in deep sleep of a dream. You're in a certain dream.
The REM sleep is the most important sleep. Rapid eye, that's when you're dreaming, you're in your deepest of sleep. Usually you're snoring there if you're a snorer. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's when you got your mouth open. That's the thing that Dr. Ecker's trying to fix for people, right?
No. Want REM sleep. REM sleep
is
a good thing.
Oh. Has nothing to do with basketball, like around the rim. Nothing, right?
No, his tweet said, it's the lack of pure REM rest. Rest before starting back up. So REM meaning basketball, I don't know, REM rest.
You sure it's not REM? Something to do with basketball?
I don't think he was talking about REM sleep, no.
Okay, all right. Seems to make sense to me, basketball player, REM, you know? I got you.
Okay. That is a tweet. All right, we'll come back. Reset those headlines, including Bucky's 76ers with an epic collapse. Doc Rivers, the head coach, now owns 5 of the worst 8 playoff collapses on his watch.
Shay's guy.
Isaiah Collier's favorite coach. We call him Glenn Doc Rivers, right? Glenn Rivers?
Yeah.
We'll have that for you coming up. Also, Dave Pelz, David Pierce, Salacious Gossip, Your Blitz, Buck Ons and Buck Offs. We're loaded. Live, local, and digital. Streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.